January 21st. Our reading in the Old Testament today will come from the book of Genesis chapter 42, verse 18. We'll go through chapter 43 and verse 34. Well, these chapters describe Joseph's dealings with his brothers and the brothers' consequent confrontations with their father. The 10 brothers had sinned against both Jacob and Joseph, but they thought that Joseph was dead and their sin was safely hidden. Joseph had to deal with them patiently, honestly, and decisively, just the way the Lord works with us when we've tried to cover our sins. Joseph's immediate goal was to get all 11 brothers to Egypt so they could bow before him and fulfill the dream God had given him more than 20 years before. His ultimate goal was to get them to confess their sins and be reconciled to him and Jacob. The men had to come to the place where their mouths were stopped. In a masterful way, Joseph wove these two purposes together as he spoke roughly to them, accused them of crimes, and insisted on their bringing Benjamin to Egypt. Outwardly, he was a stern ruler, but behind the scenes, he was a weeping brother. Jacob's responses mirror our responses to God's providential disciplines. Everything is against me. Why didn't you do it differently, God? Take a gift along. See, he's always the schemer, Jacob. And he says, if it has to be, it has to be. He moves from pessimism to fatalism and very little faith. Well, let's read all about it now as we narrate from the scriptures here in the Old Testament. January 21st, Genesis chapter 42, verse 18, through chapter 43, verse 34. On the third day, Joseph said to them, his brothers, I am a God-fearing man. If you do as I say, you will live. We'll see how honorable you really are. Only one of you will remain in the prison. The rest of you may go on home with grain for your families. But bring your youngest brother back to me. In this way, I will know whether or not you are telling me the truth. If you are, I will spare you. To this they agreed. Speaking among themselves, they said, This has all happened because of what we did to Joseph long ago. We saw his terror and anguish and heard his pleadings, but we wouldn't listen. That's why this trouble has come upon us. Didn't I tell you not to do it, Reuben asked, but you wouldn't listen. And now we're going to die because we murdered him. Of course they didn't know that Joseph understood them as he was standing there, for he had been speaking to them through an interpreter. Now he left the room and found a place where he could weep. Returning, he talked some more with them. He then chose Simeon from among them and had him tied up right before their eyes. Joseph then ordered his servants to fill the men's sacks with grain, but he also gave secret instructions to return each brother's payment at the top of his sack. He also gave them provisions for their journey. So they loaded up their donkeys with the grain and started for home. But when they stopped for the night, and one of them opened his sack to get some grain to feed the donkeys, he found his money in the sack. Look, he exclaimed to his brothers, my money is here in my sack. They were filled with terror and said to each other, What has God done to us? So they came to their father, Jacob, in the land of Canaan, and told him all that had happened. The man who is ruler over the land spoke very roughly to us, they told him. He took us for spies. But we said, We are honest men, not spies. We are 12 brothers, sons of one father. One brother has disappeared, and the youngest is with our father in the land of Canaan. Then the man, the ruler of the land, told us, This is the way I will find out if you are honest men. Leave one of your brothers here with me, and take grain for your families and go on home. But bring your youngest brother back to me. Then I will know that you are honest men and not spies. If you prove to be what you say, then I will give you back your brother, and you may come as often as you like to buy grain. As they emptied out the sacks, there at the top of each one was the bag of money paid for the grain. Terror gripped them, as it did their father. Jacob exclaimed, You have deprived me of my children. Joseph has disappeared. Simeon is gone, and now you want to take Benjamin too. Everything is going against me." Then Reuben said to his father, "You may kill my two sons if I don't bring Benjamin back to you. I'll be responsible for him." But Jacob replied, "My son will not go down with you, for his brother Joseph is dead, and he alone is left of his mother's children. If anything should happen to him, you would bring my gray head down to the grave in deep sorrow." But there was no relief from the terrible famine throughout the land. When the grain they had brought from Egypt was almost gone, Jacob said to his sons, "Go again and buy us a little food." But Judah said, "The man wasn't joking when he warned that we couldn't see him again unless Benjamin came along. If you let him come with us, we will go down and buy some food. But if you don't let Benjamin go, we may as well stay at home. Remember that the man said, 'You won't be allowed to come and see me unless your brother is with you.'" "Why did you ever tell him you had another brother?" Jacob moaned. "Why did you have to treat me with such cruelty?" "But the man specifically asked us about our family," they replied. "He wanted to know whether our father was still living, and he asked us if we had another brother, so we told him. How could we have known he would say, 'Bring me your brother'?" Judah said to his father, "Send the boy with me, and we will be on our way. Otherwise, we will all die of starvation. And not only we, but you and our little ones. I personally guarantee his safety. If I don't bring him back to you, then let me bear the blame forever. For we could have gone and returned twice by this time if you had let him come without delay." So their father Jacob finally said to them, "If it can't be avoided, then at least do this. Fill your bags with the best products of the land. Take them to the man as gifts: balm, honey, spices, myrrh, pistachio nuts, and almonds. Take double the money that you found in your sacks, as it was probably someone's mistake. Then take your brother and go back to the man. May God Almighty give you mercy as you go before the man, that he might release Simeon and return Benjamin. And if I must bear the anguish of their deaths, then so be it." So they took Benjamin and the gifts and double the money and hurried to Egypt, where they presented themselves to Joseph. When Joseph saw that Benjamin was with them, he said to the manager of his household, "These men will eat with me this noon. Take them inside and prepare a big feast." So the man did as he was told and took them to Joseph's palace. They were badly frightened when they saw where they were being taken. "It's because of the money returned to us in our sacks," they said. "He plans to pretend that we stole it. Then he will seize us as slaves and take our donkeys." As the brothers arrived at the entrance to the palace, they went over to the man in charge of Joseph's household. They said to him, "Sir, after our first trip to Egypt to buy food, as we were returning home, we stopped for the night and opened our sacks. The money we had used to pay for the grain was there in our sacks. Here it is. We have brought it back again. We also have additional money to buy more grain. We have no idea how the money got into our sacks." "Relax. Don't worry about it," the household manager told them. "Your God, the God of your ancestors, must have put it there. We collected your money all right." Then he released Simeon and brought him out to them. The brothers were then led into the palace and given water to wash their feet and food for their donkeys. They were told they would be eating there, so they prepared their gifts for Joseph's arrival at noon. When Joseph came, they gave him their gifts and bowed low before him. He asked them how they had been getting along, and then he said, "How is your father, the old man you spoke about? Is he still alive?" "Yes," they replied, "he is alive and well." Then they bowed again before him. Looking at his brother Benjamin, Joseph asked, "Is this your youngest brother, the one you told me about? May God be gracious to you, my son." Then Joseph made a hasty exit because he was overcome with emotion for his brother and wanted to cry. Going into his private room, he wept there. Then he washed his face and came out, keeping himself under control. Bring on the food, he ordered. Joseph ate by himself, and his brothers were served at a separate table. The Egyptians sat at their own table, because Egyptians despise Hebrews and refuse to eat with them. Joseph told each of his brothers where to sit, and to their amazement, he seated them in the order of their ages, from oldest to youngest. Their food was served to them from Joseph's own table. He gave the largest serving to Benjamin, 5 times as much as to any of the others. So they all feasted and drank freely with him. January 21st. Our reading in the New Testament today comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 13, verse 47. We'll go through chapter 14, verse 12. These parables here in the book of Matthew explain how God is at work in the world today. The kingdom of heaven is not the true church, for the kingdom of heaven contains both true and false, saved and lost. The kingdom of heaven is made up of all who profess any kind of allegiance to the king. God is sowing his word in human hearts and looking for fruit. He is sowing his people in the world where they can produce a harvest. At the end of the age, he will separate the true from the false and the good from the bad. Is your profession of Christ authentic? Or will you be seen as a counterfeit at the end of the age? Does your heart receive the word? The seed has life and power and can produce a harvest of blessing in your life. Do you hear it? God has wonderful plans for your life. Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the plans I have for you. Not plans for calamity, but to give you a future and a hope. Can God plant you where he wants you? You're a seed containing his divine life, but a seed must be planted to produce fruit. Do you share with others what he teaches you? Truth must not be hoarded. It must be shared so that others can be saved and built up in the faith. And now, let's read from the New Testament. January 21st, Matthew chapter 13, verse 47, through chapter 14, verse 12. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a fishing net that is thrown into the water and gathers fish of every kind. When the net is full, they drag it up onto the shore, sit down, sort the good fish into crates, and throw the bad ones away. That is the way it will be at the end of the world. The angels will come and separate the wicked people from the godly, throwing the wicked into the fire. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Do you understand? Yes, they said, we do. Then he added, every teacher of religious law who has become a disciple in the kingdom of heaven is like a person who brings out of the storehouse the new teachings as well as the old. When Jesus had finished telling these stories, he left that part of the country. He returned to Nazareth, his hometown. When he taught there in the synagogue, everyone was astonished and said, where does he get his wisdom and his miracles? He's just a carpenter's son, and we know Mary, his mother, and his brothers, James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas. All his sisters live right here among us. What makes him so great? And they were deeply offended and refused to believe in him. Then Jesus told them, a prophet is honored everywhere except in his own hometown and among his own family. And so he did only a few miracles there because of their unbelief. When Herod Antipas heard about Jesus, he said to his advisors, this must be John the Baptist come back to life again. That is why he can do such miracles. For Herod had arrested and imprisoned John as a favor to his wife Herodias, the former wife of Herod's brother Philip. John kept telling Herod, it is illegal for you to marry her. Herod would have executed John, but he was afraid of a riot, because all the people believed John was a prophet. But at a birthday party for Herod, Herodias' daughter performed a dance that greatly pleased him. So he promised with an oath to give her anything she wanted. At her mother's urging, the girl asked, I want the head of John the Baptist on a tray. The king was sorry, but because of his oath, and because he didn't want to back down in front of his guests, he issued the necessary orders. So John was beheaded in the prison, and his head was brought on a tray and given to the girl, who took it to her mother. John's disciples came for his body and buried it. Then they told Jesus what had happened. Psalm 18, verses 16 through 36. We'll read about God's gentleness. God did many things to make David a great soldier, but his gentleness made David what he was. God was doing more than winning wars. He was building character. It humbled David to think that God would condescend to call him, equip him, and help him. We'll read about God's exaltedness. David did not take credit for his victories. No, he gave all the glory to the Lord. Whatever David had, God gave it to him. Whatever he was, God made him. Whatever he did, God enabled him. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Psalm 18, verses 16 through 36. He reached down from heaven and rescued me. He drew me out of deep waters. He delivered me from my powerful enemies, from those who hated me and were too strong for me. They attacked me at a moment when I was weakest, but the Lord upheld me. He led me to a place of safety. He rescued me because he delights in me. The Lord rewarded me for doing right. He compensated me because of my innocence. For I have kept the ways of the Lord. I have not turned from my God to follow evil. For all his laws are constantly before me. I have never abandoned his principles. I am blameless before God. I have kept myself from sin. The Lord rewarded me for doing right, because of the innocence of my hands in his sight. To be faithful, you show yourself faithful. To those with integrity, you show integrity. To the pure, you show yourself pure. But to the wicked, you show yourself hostile. You rescue those who are humble, but you humiliate the proud. Lord, you have brought light to my life. My God, you light up my darkness. In your strength I can crush an army, and with my God I can scale any wall. As for God, his way is perfect. All the Lord's promises prove true. He is a shield for all who look to him for protection. For who is God except the Lord? Who but our God is a solid rock? God arms me with strength. He has made my way safe. He makes me as sure-footed as a deer, leading me safely along the mountain heights. He prepares me for battle. He strengthens me to draw a bow of bronze. You have given me the shield of your salvation. Your right hand supports me. Your gentleness has made me great. You have made a wide path for my feet to keep me from slipping. Proverbs 4, verses 7 through 10. Getting wisdom is the most important thing you can do. And whatever else you do, get good judgment. If you prize wisdom, she will exalt you. Embrace her, and she will honor you. She will place a lovely wreath on your head. She will present you with a beautiful crown. My child, listen to me and do as I say, and you will have a long, good life.